We recorded this podcast of From the Top while dodging ferocious thunderstorms up at the Chautauqua Festival in upstate New York. The venue is beautiful, but open to the elements, and so we sort of lucked out getting our recording done between massive downpours. But what a wonderful concert with such a big and supportive crowd. And the kids on the show were just electric. Christopher O'Reilly here. Enjoy.
From NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music.
In the hands of America's kids.
Here's our host, concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Welcome. It's great to be back at the amphitheater at the Chautauqua Institution in Chautauqua, New York. The community of Chautauqua comes alive every summer with a mix of performing arts, lectures, interfaith, worship, and, oh yeah, a whole lot of recreation on the shores of Chautauqua Lake. And there's a music festival and school here, too. Two of the young musicians we'll meet later on in the show have come here to take advantage of just that. Thanks to the Chautauqua Institution for bringing us back. We're going to kick things off with an outstanding 18-year-old violinist from New York City. Please welcome Lucas Stratman. Lucas, tell everyone what we're going to play together.
We will perform Introduction and Rondo Capriccioso by Saint-Saëns.
When you are ready, sir, we will take it from the top.
Thank you.
Lucas Stratman, 18-year-old violinist from New York City, played the introduction and Rondo Capriccioso by Camille Saint-Saëns. Lucas is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. Good night, everybody. Well, Lucas, thank you. That was an extraordinary way to start our show.
Thank you.
Just phenomenal. You've moved a lot because of your dad's job as a minister, and because you're such a naturally gregarious guy, you've made new friends wherever you've gone. But I guess it was really tough when your family moved when you were in seventh grade. Where were you and where did you go?
In seventh grade, I was in California, and I found out news that I was going to move to New York, and this was actually a few days after I had asked the girl that I like out. So I was pretty bummed out, but what could I do? I was in seventh grade, so... So then we moved to New York, where I live now.
Right, where you just graduated from LaGuardia High School in Manhattan, and you're about to attend Juilliard. So what's the girlfriend situation like right now?
Well, I do have a girlfriend now, and her name is Emma.
Emma? Okay. Yeah. You were slightly more creative than the average guy in the way you asked her out initially. We asked you and Emma to tell us that story.
Just at the start of the school year, I really, really liked this girl. She was an art major at my school, LaGuardia.
Hi, I'm Emma. There were signs here and there, but Lucas is like a really easygoing and funny guy, so it was kind of hard to tell.
So the funny thing is that last year, before I even knew Emma, I was dance partners with her sister before she went to college at Northwestern. And how it all worked out is just really weird.
Well, first she told me that he was, like, a super great violinist and that he was a really nice guy and that he made orchestra really fun for her.
So when I first asked my parents if I could take Emma out, they were a little bit shocked. They were like, why now? It's 2 months before your college auditions.
Anyway, he made some sort of a deal.
Yeah, I did make a deal. The deal was that once I got into college, I could ask her out.
But the way he asked me out
was so cheesy. There's this bakery on the Upper West Side called Magnolia Bakery, and one of the best cupcake places, I think, in all the city. And I went there on the morning that I asked her out, and I asked them if they could customize a cupcake for me. So they were able to, and then that morning I got the cupcakes, and then I went to school, and then in the middle of the day, I asked her to come to my locker, and she knew I had cupcakes, so I was like, oh, here's the cupcakes, and then she opened it, and then what it said was, girlfriend? Question mark.
The message inside was a little bit dorky, but it was also super cute, and it's just like Lucas.
She looked really happy, and hopefully that's the case. I think it was the case. And since then, we've been dating. And yeah, it's going great.
here you are playing this great romantic showpiece, and it turns out, yes, you are the most romantic guy we've ever had on the show. So you're off to the Juilliard School next year, and who are you going to be studying with?
I'll be studying with Mr. Masao Kawasaki.
Now, wait a minute. I've read about you, and isn't that the guy who's been terrorizing you for years?
My first year that I studied with him, I used to leave lessons just sweating and sometimes even crying. It was crazy, but now he's helped me so much, and I'm so grateful for him. And actually, now he's always smiling to me, so it's much better.
Romantic love and tough love. That's what's brought you here, and it's all good. Lucas, fantastic playing.
Thank you
Great
so
being
much.
With you. Thanks Thank for being you. With us. Lucas Stratman, 18 years old, from New York City.
Did you know From the Top has a YouTube channel with music videos, clips from our live shows, and stories about the great things our young performers do beyond the concert hall? Check it out and subscribe. Over the last 10 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $2 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is an exceptional 16-year-old pianist who was the winner of the 2014 Blunt Slauson Young Artists Competition, also the winner of the 2014 Music Teachers National Association Junior Piano Competition. This is Elizabeth Tsai performing Chopin's Andante Spianato and Grand Polonaise Brillante. Elizabeth Tsai played the Andante Spianato and Grande Polonaise Brillante by Frédéric Chopin. Elizabeth is 16 and comes to us from Phoenix City, Alabama. Elizabeth, thank you so much. That's one of my favorite pieces of Chopin ever, and now I've heard my favorite performance of it. Seriously.
Thank you.
It's phenomenal. So, Elizabeth, you're quite the piano royalty with those two competition wins I mentioned earlier, but more important than winning the Blunt Slauson competition is that you got to do something there in Alabama for the first time ever. What came from the competition?
I got to play with the Montgomery Symphony Orchestra. That was my first time playing with the orchestra.
Wow, what did you play with them?
I played the Liszt Concerto No. 1.
Very good. So how was the first time with the orchestra? What was that like?
I was pretty nervous, but when I started playing, then I was like in the music, and it was a very good experience.
Good show, I'm sure it was. When you're at the piano, you'd never know it, but you say you're really shy. Do you think music helps you express yourself?
Yeah, I think that I can express my feelings and emotions through music a lot better than with words. And I think that music can touch people's hearts in ways that words cannot. And I want to be able to share the gift of music and bless many people with it.
I know you think a lot about the music that you're going to play. Tell everybody what you call mental practice.
When I do mental practice, I try to think about how I want the music to sound, like different colors and phrasing and characters, and then incorporate them into my playing when I'm actually at the piano. And usually I like to be in a quiet place so I can think and listen in my head. And mental practice has really helped me over the years, and I'm really grateful for my dad, who taught me actually how to do mental practice, and he also taught me many things about music.
Yes. If you've got your head in the right place and your heart in the right place, the fingers follow, and they absolutely did brilliantly today. Thank you,
Thank
Elizabeth,
you so
for being
much.
With us.
Thank you.
Brilliant performance. Elizabeth Tsai, 16-year-old pianist from Phoenix City, Alabama.
I'm Martin Bernstein, I'm 18, and I play the recorder. Not exactly like that. It's more like... There we go. One of the things I try to do is to show people that the recorder is a real, serious concert instrument. I've actually gone into elementary school classrooms, where they're learning hot cross buns, and played for the kids, and... It's really great to see them realize, you know, wow, this is a serious instrument. That's what the recorder can do. Most of the music I play is from hundreds of years ago, the 16th, 17th, and 18th centuries, and the Renaissance and the Baroque eras, when the recorder was a more highly regarded serious instrument. And one of the challenges I face when playing this music is, well, how can I really understand music from so long ago? So what I try to do is to understand the music in context, and to figure out what the ideals and conventions were at the time when a piece was written. And then I can figure out, you know, what's there, what is the composer trying to convey, and then figure out how best to play a piece. And the process of doing that is very interesting to me, because I have to look at a lot of different factors. Maybe I'll read educational treatises, figure out how people were thinking about music, or I'll look to the visual arts to see what people found beautiful at the time. Maybe information about a composer's life can help me, or technology and how instruments were being made. The recorder I'm playing today is actually copied from a surviving 18th century instrument by Patrick von Huene, who's a really great recorder maker in Boston. More and more people are studying Baroque music this way. Musicians started asking these kinds of questions in the 1960s and 1970s, and since then there's been a real flourishing of scholarship on Baroque music and Baroque performance practice. In approaching music this way, I think we realize that the way we do things now isn't the way they were always done. You know, we didn't always use equal temperament. We didn't always conceive of vibrato as a constant part of musical sound. Composers weren't always very explicit about what they wanted their performers to do. And that knowledge is very liberating. Just by realizing that things change, I realize I don't have to play in a certain way, and I can examine my conventions and figure out why they're there and whether or not they're actually beautiful. And that makes my playing more deliberate, which I think is very important. One of the things I found really fascinating is the practice of ornamentation. So in the Baroque era, performers were given a lot of leeway to bring something of themselves to the music. And one of the ways they did this was by ornamenting, by spontaneously embellishing passages of music. Let me demonstrate. I'm going to play for you an unornamented passage. And now here it is with the ornaments. So understanding what types of ornaments might have been used is naturally very difficult. They were made up on the spot, so we don't know exactly what they sounded like. But we do have some clues. So I'm going to play two movements of a sonata from Corelli's Opus 5. This was originally written for violin, but the sonatas became so popular in Europe that they were arranged for recorder in London. And in this rare case, a lot of composers and some performers actually wrote down ornaments for these sonatas to show off or to give an example to students of what they might have been. And that's really special because it gives us a clue of what these sonatas might have sounded like. I read about these handwritten ornamentation manuscripts a few years ago in an article, and since then I've spent some time tracking them down from various libraries. So we're going to play a British version of Corelli. The first two movements from Opus 5, number 11, arranged for recorder, as per the London manuscript, with ornaments taken from Scottish and Irish manuscripts. Mr. O'Reilly will be playing the harpsichord.
Thank you.
Martin Bernstein, 18 years old, our recorder player from Brooklyn, New York, played the first two movements of Arcangelo Corelli's Sonata in F, Opus 5, number 11. Well, Martin, as eloquently as you stated the whole background of preparing the performance itself was just magnificent and so eloquent and so beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thanks
just
so much.
It's a pleasure to play that with you. So, Martin, we heard a lot about your musical scholarship. Let's hear about something more down to earth, baseball. You play on your high school team, is
that's
what
right, yeah. I'm actually captain along with two other friends of my high school varsity team. It's a lot of fun.
Wow. And you share this love of baseball with your younger brother. Now, you're 18. How old is he?
He's 14.
14?
Yeah.
And you guys are quite close, but also humorously antagonistic. He bugs you? How does he get under your skin?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes I'll be sitting down to practice, and he comes up behind me, starts hitting me, stop playing, or you know, sitting there throwing ping pong balls at me. Or sometimes he grabs one of my instruments, and he starts blowing on it, and he's like, "You sound like this, man." But no, most of the time he's great. We actually get along very well.
And the two of you have actually invented a new domestic sport, I hear.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Sometimes, you know, if he's being really annoying, I take my blanket, throw it over my head, and then I have to chase him throughout the house, and that one usually ends in a fight.
Yes, exactly.
My parents don't like that one so much.
Knocking over the furniture and things.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you may miss your brother because you're leaving home next year. You're going to Harvard, but before that, you're going to take a gap year. What are your plans?
So I'm actually going to go to Europe and study some music there. Not exactly sure yet, although unofficially. I'm hoping to go to Bremen, which is in Germany, and I've been unofficially accepted, so we have to wait for some administrative things there. But that's the goal.
Well, I have no doubt you'll get wherever you're going. I mean, it's just magnificent playing with you. And Martin, I'm so thrilled to tell our audience that we're going to hear more of you at the end of the program. So we'll look forward to that. And again, bravo.
Thanks so much.
Martin Bernstein, 18 years old, our recorder player from Brooklyn, New York.
Our fabulous host, Christopher O'Reilly, along with the renowned cellist Matt Heimovitz, has just released a new album featuring the complete Beethoven sonatas, all recorded on period instruments. It's called Beethoven Period. Find it at oxingalerecords.com.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from U.S. Trust, who believes that the arts have a vital role in stimulating the hearts and imaginations of our country's best young musicians. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. From New England Conservatory, where young artists and teachers are transforming classical music, online at necmusic.edu. And from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from the amphitheater at the Chautauqua Institution in Chautauqua, New York. Coming up, two young musicians studying here at Chautauqua join our host to perform the exciting Nuevo Tango music of Astor Piazzolla. Today's show is made possible by the Chautauqua Institution. Special thanks this week to Denton, Couture, and Daniels. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. And now, music by Felix Mendelssohn, arranged for the cello, and performed by this lovely young woman standing on stage with me. Please welcome, all the way from Portland, Oregon, 18-year-old Megan Yip. Megan, welcome. Introduce the beautiful music we're going to play together.
We will perform Mendelssohn's Songs Without Words, Venetian Boat Song.
Megan Yip, 18-year-old cellist from Portland, Oregon, performing Mendelssohn's Venetian Boat Song from his Songs Without Words. Megan, that was astonishingly beautiful.
Thank you.
Really drew us all in this beautiful, big, resounding amphitheater, and you just had us all in the palm of your hand. Just wonderful playing. This summer, you're studying here at Chautauqua and performing in the orchestra then. How's that been for you? How do you like it here?
What really got me extremely excited about coming here, especially for the summer, is, you know, usually I've done mostly just music festivals. This time I get to experience not just music, but there's dance, there's drama, there's vocal arts, and there are these amazing lectures. And so I think the summer will be many things to do.
Yeah, lots of things to do, and lots of things to go to. And it's good you'll get the chance to be exposed to big ideas here, big non-musical ideas, because being an independent thinker is a very important thing to you. Were you always that way?
I would say so. I think most of it comes from high school. I spent 3 years at this private Catholic school, and I got a great education out of it, but it was a place where academics were very strongly encouraged, and sports were very highly encouraged, and I was this girl playing cello, and no one quite understood that. And so it was like there was a community that I wasn't a part of, and so I would just do things on my own. I would just do cello. And so far, I think, you know, those were hard times, but it got me to good places
to
now.
Do things on your own and really independent. Does this feeling of wanting to do your own thing extend to your music making? I mean, the way you decide to make a piece go?
I think definitely. I've always, you know, I've seen amazing musicians and they're really inspiring. And, you know, I've heard myself play and I've definitely hope to be someone that is not just a girl that plays cello well. I think I want something that is more than that, that I can be categorized by something that is more special and unique. And so that's something that I think is very important.
But your independent spirit, I guess, gets a little bit eccentric at times. Apparently, you don't need anyone else in the room to actually carry on a conversation.
Yeah, it's true. I talk to myself all the time. And anyone that knows me, it's true. I can basically sit in an empty room, stare into a mirror, and just talk to nothing. And, you know, I don't need anyone to listen. I can hear myself, so it's fine.
I do the same thing, but for some reason people call that road rage. I don't know what that's about. Well, you're a fantastic musical collaborator, despite your independent spirit. Actually, your independent spirit, I know you play the piano as well, so we should have just had you overdubbing yourself playing the piano with you playing the cello. I apologize for intruding, but it was my pleasure, and we're going to continue this collaboration. We're going to hear more of you as you join in on this performance of Piazzolla we've got up next. Joanne?
Podcasts of From the Top, featuring bonus content not heard on the radio broadcast, are available every week at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Now let's meet the 15-year-old violinist who's going to join Megan and me in a movement of Astor Piazzolla's The Four Seasons of Buenos Aires. Welcome from Germantown, Wisconsin, Hannah White. Hannah, I understand major congratulations are in order. You are the winner of the junior division of this year's Sphinx competition, the competition for Black and Latino string players. You'll be on tour with Sphinx this year, and you also were on tour with them last year. Mm-hmm. Where did you get to play?
So last year, I got to play at Carnegie Hall, which was a great privilege, and they invited me to, this is not part of Sphinx tour. Sphinx invited me to play for the League of American Orchestras at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum in Cleveland. So it was great. So like the experience of, I didn't know how big of a deal it was at first. So like when we were going there, we took the plane and like we got off the plane and like there was this billboard of it advertising and I was like, oh, what a coincidence, like, I'd be playing there tonight. And so, like, we, like, took the cab and, like, went there to the hotel, and, like, the cab driver was talking about, he was like, oh, you should visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. It's a great place. And I was like, oh, what another coincidence. So then as we were driving, there was, like, all these billboards about it. So then I was just like, wow, this is, like, so surreal. Like, I'm going to actually be there tonight and perform. So, like, when I got there, I mean, it was great and stuff, but like the hall is not like for classical musicians, it's like for, yeah. So it was kind of dry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's mostly for movies and looking at Jimi Hendrix's report cards and stuff like that. Yeah. You really felt a strong sense of community while you were at the Sphinx competition. We've heard that from a lot of our Sphinx kids. Talk about that a bit.
I love how Sphinx has like Black and Latinos like more in the classical world, I guess, because like I feel like I'm the only like minority like Black where I go and like compete and stuff. I kind of feel like different, but like obviously we all have to work the same, and I love how Sphinx is changing that.
It's a beautiful thing. You're going to be back at Carnegie Hall this autumn as the Sphinx winner. What you're going to play for that show?
I will be playing the Rachel Barton Caprice on Dixie.
Oh, wow.
Rachel Barton, whom I know and highly admire. I aspire her a lot, as well as Elmita and Roland Vamos, who happen to be my teachers.
Right. So let's put this Piazzolla together. Along with Hannah and me, the young cellist we just featured, Megan Yip, will perform Primavera Porteña from the Four Seasons of Buenos Aires. Hannah White, 15, and Megan Yip, 18, join me in Astor Piazzolla's Primavera Porteña from the Four Seasons of Buenos Aires. Both Hannah and Megan are spending the summer here at the Chautauqua Institution. It's a rare thing for From the Top to feature a young recorder player, never mind a young recorder player as magnificent as Martin Bernstein. So Martin was so great earlier in the show, I thought it would be great to hear him play again. Martin, what are we going to be performing?
So we're going to play a piece by a 17th century Italian composer, Giovanni Battista Fontana, and this is his Sonata Secunda.
A sublime way to end our evening here at Chautauqua. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for coming and listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And now, Martin, we'll take this from the top.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Bagley and Tim Banker with music director Tom Vinieri. The tour producer is David Balsam and the production manager is Elizabeth DeVore. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette with Chris Rando and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. Our founding partners are New England Conservatory and WGBH Boston. If you'd like to appear on our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory, where outstanding young artists and inspirational teachers are transforming classical music.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and from Fluid Review, an online application management software. Fluid Review helps academic institutions and nonprofit organizations empower their scholarship, grant, and award programs. Learn more at fluidreview.com. From the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. Learn more at knightfoundation.org. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
This is Christopher O'Reilly, and I hope you had fun listening to this week's podcast. As you might imagine, making From the Top happen week after week costs quite a bit of dough. If you believe in what we do, we really need you to help us out. Make a contribution of any size at fromthetop.org. And now, for podcasters only, here's a bit of extra content. My break piece from the live show. This is my own arrangement of Eric Satie's song, Je Te Veux.